as tightening of control in the territory.
The headlines again. Inflation has fallen to its lowest level since last August, but the drop to 8.7% was smaller than expected, raising the prospect of another rise in interest rates. South Wales police have insisted that their officers were half a mile away at the time of a fatal crash in Cardiff on Monday, which triggered rioting in the Ely area. The independent COVID inquiry has warned the Cabinet Office it could face criminal sanctions if it doesn't hand over Boris Johnson's unredacted WhatsApp messages and diaries. The BBC understands that a multi-billion pound electric car battery plant is to be built in Somerset. A pioneering new technique involving brain implants has allowed a paralysed man to walk again. BBC News.
And the news tonight was read by Lisa Costello. Fresh from her bevy of BAFTAs, we've award-winning TV and radio presenter Claudia Rinkleman attempting to banish alliteration. Oh dear. Whispering and picnics when she joins Paul Merton for a new series of Room 101 in a moment. But first, a solution if you can't get enough.
BBC Sounds. Need more than 90 minutes?
Hello and welcome to Football Daily.
Can't get enough cricket chat?
Welcome to Tailenders. My name is Greg James. This is a cricket podcast for the cricketing curious.
Fascinated by sport's dark side?
An improbable lo-fi crime nearly brought Formula One to its knees. This is sport's strangest crimes.
It's more than just a game. With sports podcasts like Football Daily, Tailenders, and Sport's Strangest Crimes. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now, a brand new series for Radio 4. It's Room 101 with your host, Paul Merton, and a very special guest.
Supposing you had the chance to get rid of some of your worst nightmares, what would they be? My guest is here to persuade me to banish the items on her list to a place where they'll never be seen again. This is Room 101. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome co-presenter of Strictly Come Dancing and host of the new hit show Traitors, Claudia Rinkleman. Who unfortunately can't be with us tonight. Claudia, you seem a very cheerful, positive person. I can't imagine you getting annoyed or irritated by anything. And yet, of all the guests I've ever invited onto Room 101, you were by far the fastest to reply yes. And you emailed straight back with 9 choices.
And by the way, and what I would like you to assure me that this isn't just a chat, charming, lovely to meet everybody, we're sitting in red velvet chairs, but you will actually remove these things.
Oh, they're gone forever.
Good.
If any go in. They don't automatically all go in.
Yeah, but you'll agree with me.
We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah.
Okay, your first choice is I've actually got a physical object here. I'll tap it away. Now, for the benefit of our listeners at home, what am I holding in my hand?
Well, that is repellent and it's gone. I shouldn't have to explain it, but that is an aubergine.
An aubergine?
An aubergine.
What is it about aubergines?
No, no. Something weird has happened in the audience. I heard somebody go, no. You love a moussaka. We will chat afterwards. Here's my problem with aubergines, and I've got 38, but let's just do the top 10. One, nothing should be that hard work. Nothing. So you salt it, then you lay it out, then you flatten it, and then you get some kitchen roll, then you wring it out. It's nice if it's deep fried, so is an old Wellington boot. Sorry about, that's not a test. Do you know what I mean? Everything's nice, deep fried. Aubergines are both, and here's the weird thing, dry yet soggy. They break science. You put it in your mouth, you don't know, oh, it's stringy. There's like a harsh thing. They're quite nice for a still life. I'll give you that. I'm happy to come to, you won't want me at your house. I'm annoying and I'm too orange. But if you were to invite me and you went, you're not going to believe what I've baked. I will remove you from my SIM card. They are an embarrassment.
When did you first encounter an aubergine and did you have these strong feelings upon that very first meeting?
I didn't discover it early. I think I first had an aubergine at 30 and it was upsetting. I don't get it. I won't have it. I don't want it. Goodbye.
Don't you think food should be versatile?
No. No, don't be silly.
There's a delicious aubergine dish apparently called baba ganoush.
Have you had it?
It was also a hit single for Kate Bush.
If you'd tried baba ganoush, you wouldn't say, because you have the mighty hummus, right? The king of dips. Oh, I've got some warm pitta. I've got hummus. Yeah. I'm just going to put some on my chest. and lick it off myself. I can't. I'm not a contortionist. Or, I'll tell you what, I'm going to dice some grey matter and then I'm going to have to add 500 garlic cloves to it just to make it sort of fine. A ton of salt, put it through a masher where it still will be this weird stringy... It's the cockroach of vegetables. That's what it is.
Well, do you know why people salt aubergines? You know the reason behind that? It's because they contain nicotine. You remove nicotine from aubergines by salting them. I used to be on 20 a day myself. But I've got an aubergine patch, so I'm all right now. Social media. The murky world of social media. The aubergine is a recognised symbol for male genitalia.
Yeah, also, I don't like using emojis instead of words. Just say I have a massive penis rather than it's an aubergine. Just say I'm very pleased with myself.
That, you know, that could have been my mother talking. OK, so we established that the aubergine's got quite a hollow sound. Let's have a listen to what an aubergine sounds like when you tap it. Then we wondered if you had in different sizes, maybe you could tune them to make an aubergine-o-phone.
OK.
So, having established the scientific principle of that, let's see if we can get a tune out of it.
They're not fine. I know I'm taking it too seriously, but no.
No, I can see you are taking it seriously, and that's a good thing. Aubergines are a bit tasteless. You can't play a proper tune on them, as we've just discovered. They're addicted to smokers, so aubergines are definitely going into room 101.
Thank you. Thank you.
They are gone from the planet. How would you have reacted if I'd said they're staying out of room 101?
I didn't want to have a strop. I'd have been fine, because you won't agree with me on everything.
No.
So I have to prepare myself for that, although that's quite difficult.
So to illustrate your next choice, let's have a listen to this.
I enjoy buffets. I wouldn't say love buffets, but it's a very reasonable way to eat out. I enjoy.
Still going.
So that's the buffet song, a distinctive piece of music called the buffet song by Rhett and Link. So what is this choice all about?
Well, I don't approve of people who don't appreciate a buffet.
Right.
Because I think a buffet can make me quite emotional. I think it is the best use of our time. It is the most thrilling event, and I have been with the same man for 25 years, and the only time I literally want to phone a divorce lawyer is when he goes, babe, wouldn't you just prefer a menu? Who are you? Who are you? I've lived with you, I find you charming, you're a good kisser, yeah, everything's working, but the fact is you do not want to get up repeatedly to get a thimble of juice and a selection of hot and cold things. I love a buffet. I make a buffet at home. When I say a buffet, it is too many baby bells, a borsa. I put it on the side, I get up, and I walk along it. I mean, with my kids. People who don't like buffets, I don't trust them. What are they thinking?
Well, what you don't trust people who would sit down at a table and eat a meal.
That's weird for me. It's weird for me. It's so much more fun. You sound like my husband. Babe, I just want to sit down and talk to you and order. Talk. We're talked out. I've been with you since I was 26. We're done. I know about your geography teacher. The point... That's not sinister, by the way. I like getting up.
But the buffet, you've got bacon sitting in its own grease. You don't know how long it's been. The hash browns, you don't know how long they've been there. A fried egg in a buffet is a very sad thing.
But you make a very strong point. And by the way, I like very overcooked food, like crispy, old, stuck to the side. The opposite of aubergine, if you will.
You like crispy, old food?
And men. if we're really sharing.
Yeah, yes. I suppose you like those toast-making machines where you put your toast on a sort of revolving sort of conveyor belt, it disappears for 5 minutes.
Better than a roller coaster.
Really?
And it goes, comes out, still not done. It's all right, no rush. Still not done. Then you put it in again. Oh, it's burnt. But It just makes mornings glorious. In Buffet World, they have things that you wouldn't normally
try. So you would go to a theme park called Buffet World, wouldn't you?
Could we start one? I think everyone in this room, Buffet World, where everything's a buffet.
Yes.
That's my dream.
I'm going to make this as an audience vote, actually. So let's just see then. All those who want to put the people who don't like buffets into room 101, that includes your wives and husbands, anybody you don't like, and let's see how many.
Come on.
Oh, I'd say that's a definite majority. OK, so people who don't like buffets are going into room 101.
Yes! Thank you.
One person booed over here. Everybody else righteously applauded. OK, Claudia, your next choice is Coasters. Not the popular singing group of the 1950s, but the posh version of a beer mat.
Yes, it's Coasters, and it's twinned with people who ask you to take your shoes off when you go to their house. Thank you.
That struck a chord.
It struck a chord. It's the same, and you can tell, by the way, I do my eye makeup, a bit ramshackle, but I quite like ramshackle. What I'm anti is sort of perfect, and I don't like... I feel so bad as I'm saying this, because maybe I've got this one wrong, but worrying too much about tables or floors, I've got no time for.
Well, you mentioned the thing about shoes, and there was a study at the University of Arizona that revealed that there are 421,000 different units of bacteria on the bottom of a single shoe.
But I love bacteria. I'm mad for it. I'm on bacteria's side.
Hence your love of buffets.
Yeah, you see?
So you love bacteria.
I'm all right with it. We've got to live together as well. I mean, I don't get down and lick the floor.
No.
I'm not like, oh, my toothbrush's been in the bin for 4 days. Yeah, I'll probably use it. I'm not like that. But I'm OK. Like, please, people can wear their shoes. They can put a glass down. Mm. We know the kind of person, right, where you go round. A friend of mine at school, we were only little, was so particular and... it made us anxious. So I'm just like, yeah, do whatever. Make it a mess, but you're right, my house is disgusting.
You say that you say that thing about a friend at school, because I went round to a friend's house, a school friend at the time, and his parents had bought a new sofa, but they'd still kept the polythene wrapper on it. And they'd had it for about 2 years. They didn't want it to get it dirty by taking the wrapping off. And if you sat on it and slipped off with a cup of coffee and spilt it on the carpet, it didn't matter because there was a glass pane across the top of the carpet. Let's talk about the shoes, because that got a big response from the audience. What is it about? So you go round to somebody's house and they say, oh, Claudia, would you mind taking your shoes off? What do you say?
Well, of course I do, because I'm going round to their house. I don't go again. But that's unfair. I've got two problems with it. One is entirely selfish, which is I am only footwear. I am footwear and a fringe. There is nothing else. It's not like I've taken time to pick out. I don't know. This has still got baby sick on it. My kid is 20. You know, I just... from my nose to my ankle, I have zero interest in, but I am about a boot and and looking like I'm wearing a wig. Done. So if they ask me to take my shoes off, then what else is there? I don't have anything else. A. B, I think it's quite passag. I think it's a little bit... I'll tell you, I just don't like it. It's not... I would never do it. Do you know, am I wrong?
Well, there's a mix.
I'm going to ask again. I think there are more people who think it's fine to take their shoes off.
Yes.
And yeah. Would you also think nothing of whipping out a coaster?
Okay, we've got a simple multiple choice question here. Let's see how you would answer this. You find a dead horse in your kitchen. Do you A, scream with horror, never use the kitchen again? B, make a feature of it? C, literally sweep it under the carpet? Or D, change your supermarket delivery supplier?
D,
okay. Yeah. Now, you have very strict rules about what you find attractive in a man, and domestic order and cleanliness come into this, don't they?
Well, I don't think I can have sex with somebody who had a very strict system when it came to loading the dishwasher.
There's a lot of women nodding in agreement there.
You know what, guys? It goes in, it comes out. Everyone, please relax. Please relax.
We're still talking about the dishwasher here, aren't we?
Yeah, I'd find that quite tiresome. And my husband is much cleaner than I am. He once said, babe, you know where we keep the mustard. I was like, I'm happy to correlate. Don't touch me. I think it might be one of the most unattractive things ever.
But, I mean, how far does this go? I mean, there are sort of designated areas for plates and small plates.
I'll put a plate... No, I'm not wild.
Yeah.
I'm not...
Don't just chuck them in.
I'm not like... I'm not playing Frisbee. Yeah. I'll put them in, but if one goes skew-whiff, if he came up and went, oh, well, that's never going to work, I'm going to sleep with your brother.
I think as long as you've warned him that might happen, I think that's fair enough.
I flagged it.
Yeah. According to a survey by Birmingham University, I found this hard to believe, but it's true, 42% of people admitted that they had reloaded the dishwasher after their family had gone to bed because they thought it had been done incorrectly.
Stop.
42% of people admitted they did
that.
And
let me just, this is in brackets. They also have coasters and prefer it if people take their shoes off when they come into the house.
What about the people who rinse stuff before they put in the dishwasher?
I think I wouldn't rinse, no. I would just put whole stuff in there, like just the whole plate with the chicken carcass on there. But I know, I know that that's not what you're supposed to do and it's disrespectful to the machines. And I
doesn't do the chicken much good either, does it? Well, let me have a think about this. There are some coasters you can buy which carries words of wisdom. It says such things on it as, think positively, exercise daily, eat healthy, work hard, stay strong, worry less, dance more, love often, be happy.
Don't do any of those things. Dance badly, be negative.
When you say dance badly, is that something you would say on Strictly to a contestant? No one ever buys coasters for themselves. If we got rid of coasters, the gift shops of all the museums in all the world would go out of business. So I'm not putting coasters in.
Okay. Okay, that's a very good point.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's a very good point.
Okay, here is an example, Claudia, of your next choice. This isn't about randy Russian monks who are difficult to kill. What is this one about?
I like that song, so I feel bad. Because it's not... Anyway, I am allergic to alliteration.
Mm. So it's not the song, it's just the title. It's a substitute for comic writing, really, isn't it? People who are not very good at writing comedy think that alliteration is funny. I mean, it can be. But being alliteration in it itself is not necessarily amusing.
This is no disrespect to cheese, because I love cheese and I love cheesy things. Constant alliteration is, it feels cheesy. I don't like it. Mm. I don't like it. And it feels lazy. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I think you're allowed to say that alliteration feels lazy. I don't think that's breaking any BBC guidelines. Although it's a movable feast, so we'll see what happens when this goes out. Some programmes use it quite a lot. I was watching an episode of Dragon's Den the other night, and I think they've been lured into the alliteration because of the alliterative title. And knowing that this was one of your subjects, I just made a note. In the first 20 minutes, right, we had... I can see you're bracing yourself for
this.
Go
on, I'm excited.
The Den's Dancing Dragon, a fearsome fire breather, a clothing connoisseur, a concept that could create cash, and a bath-based pop-up proposition.
I mean, do we need to say any more? Sometimes, when somebody delivers something, do you just go... Done. It's gone in.
Well, for the sake of the programme,
okay,
not being 10 minutes long, do you think that alliteration comes from rhymes that we heard in the playground? You know, things like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper, round and round the rugged rocks. Children seem to like alliteration.
When you say it like that, with the little people...
Not all alliteration is bad. You have famous song lyrics, Jumping Jack Flash. Mm. Let It Be, of course, a wonderful lyric from Paul McCartney, whispering words of wisdom, Let It Be.
Yes.
So that's a beautiful piece of alliteration, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That was a ridiculous idea I had. I'm pleased I came. Let's keep it and hold it up high and only speak with the same first letter for the rest of the show.
OK, well, for the sake of trying to desperately maintain the concept of the programme... all right, then. Well, it is lazy writing. It's very rarely a conduit for humour, but taking on what you say, you don't really want to put it in now. I don't need to say alliteration is definitely dropping downwards, so alliteration is not going into Room 101. OK, Claudia, your next choice is illustrated by this.
Rosebud.
So that's the that's the beginning of Citizen Kane. Famously begins with Orson Welles' character whispering Rosebud. But, of course, it's not Citizen Kane or Orson Welles.
It is whispering. I cannot stand whispering. And I think it should be banned, illegal. I think if a policeman is walking through town shopping centre and see a bunch of girls whispering, he should be able to pluck them up and put them, maybe not in prison. As I was saying it, I was like, that's too much. But like confiscate their sweets. I don't like whispering. I actually don't really like people who talk very quietly. I think it's another form of, it's just sort of aggression. Like, good to see you. Just speak. You don't have to shout, but I think whispering is horrible.
But there are some occasions, where whispering is important. For example, if you were standing on the side of a mountain, you don't want to cause an avalanche by shouting. If you're on safari, there was a lion outside your tent, you might want to whisper, there's a lion outside your tent.
Yeah.
Or if you're ordering something embarrassing in the chemists or commentating on a snooker match. I mean, these are all examples where whispering is a real boon.
Oh, another thing, not going in.
No, we don't know that yet.
I know, but I would like to say that's a different form of whispering. That is, if you like, a slightly panicked, short, small voice with some form of mime.
Yes.
And for lion, etc. That's something else. Whispering, like, just being me, because also often you're whispering not about the person who's in the room, but the other person will always feel like you're talking about them.
Yes.
And whispering is much louder than you think. So if you've been at the cinema and somebody's turned next to somebody and they've gone, have you got any pop? Why didn't you just shout it? No, I don't like it. No, I stand by my thing. I know mountains, yes, fine. But otherwise, no, whispering has got to go.
Well, have you heard of something called ASMR?
Yes, I have.
Have you? It stands for the Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It says this is why some people absolutely love whispering. It's supposed to be relaxing, often a sedative sensation that begins on the scalp and moves down the body. This is what they say.
You know what's relaxing? A bath.
Well, we do have an example of it. It's also known as a brain massage. Apparently it's triggered by whispering. This is
GBASMR.
Hello.
Oh, God!
Thank goodness you're here. You seem like you could use some assistance.
You could use some assistance, love.
Make yourself comfortable.
I'm quite relaxed there.
Did that relax you?
Right at the end, I did feel like, oh, my shoulders are quite quite floopy.
Well, we carried out an experiment just before the recording tonight. Oh. The two back rows, with the first person was given a piece of paper with a message written on it. They then had to whisper it to the person next to them and so on and so on and so on. So the sentence, which it started off with, is on Tuesday, the lion puts his teeth in to partake of the buffet, right? Now, we're going to find out, and obviously I don't know. Let's see what it says. What? That bears no relationship whatsoever. It says breakfast at 9, dinner at 10 is better than being in a tent.
That's brilliant.
Well, I think we've found out that the whispering creates all sorts of problems. It's not a trustworthy method of a communication. I'm definitely putting whispering into room 101.
Yes!
In it goes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure. So, yeah, I actually didn't know what that was until I opened that up. It was a bit like being at the Oscars. Now, Claudia, your final choice. Let's have a listen to this classic.
For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.
Now, that charming tune, which a lot of us would remember from our childhood, but it's not teddy bears.
No.
You want to put in?
No, I like a teddy bear. I really, really cannot stand a picnic. Mm.
Isn't that just an open-air buffet?
No, it is not. Guys... Guy, don't make me cry. A buffet is done. You go to an omelette station. Oh, would you like a bread roll with that? Hey, over here we've got some naan. A buffet is heaven. Let me tell you what a picnic is.
Yes.
Let me just tell you. So a picnic, is, number one, we're harking back. We get all nostalgic, which is also a bad idea. And we're like, a picnic, that's a nice idea. Maybe you turn to the people you live with and you go, should we get a blanket? Or let's get some towels. And then you make some indescribably disgusting food. Picnic food is disgusting. Everything is covered in mayonnaise and people are throwing sultanas in with abandon. And you're just like, oh yeah, let's make a skewer. The house looks like it's been burgled. You lug this disgusting mayonnaise-laden, awful food to a non-sodden part of the park. You sit down, there's a toddler there, he's just taken his nappy off, and a dog comes over and starts eating. It would be rubbish, but because it's called a picnic, you have to put a smile and joy in it, like some hark back to Enid Blyton, who didn't like a bloody picnic either. So you're sitting there going, this is fun. Do pass the lime so I can put it on this crap skewer while a Frisbee lands on somebody's head. You pretend you're having a nice time. Then you wrap it all up. By the way, you don't have a picnic blanket. Who's got a picnic blanket? You've used two mismatched towels. You are now, and you're greasy. Maybe you've drunk something. You're drunk and angry in the middle of the day. And you're carrying back this basket. You come back to the house. You open the door. You've forgotten the state that you've left your kitchen in. You've now got to unload. Somebody's got a plan for the dishwasher. A picnic is a disgrace and it's got to go.
Okay. Well, you've painted a very, very strong, realistic picture there for you. Let's think of another way of looking at it. So we're somewhere in the Cotswolds. The sky is blue. The birds are singing. A concert's taking place on the other side of the hill. You open the picnic basket.
I mean,
there's a pork pie with an egg in it. A bottle of champagne. A couple of mini baby bells. An aubergine. What could be possibly wrong with that scenario?
I've never been on a good picnic. Now, if a picnic was a bag of Monster Munch on a bench, like, yeah, call it what it is, and maybe a can of Shandy,
yeah,
with an old friend,
yeah,
fine. But then give that a different name.
Is it a preparation that goes into it?
It's the prep and the faux joy. The, I don't know how to describe it, the sort of, off we go, mummy, let's go for a picnic.
Is it because the amount of effort that has gone into it?
Yes.
That you then feel, people feel obliged to say they're enjoying it, even if they're not?
Thank you. It is the Sunday lunch version of using a coaster. What it is, you see.
What do you think about these fancy picnic hampers you get?
Ridiculous. Have you ever lifted one?
Yeah.
It weighs more than this theatre.
Well, it has a...
It's got like four plates. Yeah, but do you know how fun it is? Once you've put something inedible on your plate, yeah, like a warm... pork, like going off pork pie. This is the opposite of a buffet. What I want you to then imagine is an hour after that, while it's been licked by somebody else's dog, that you have to lift it back and seal it in the jaunty leather straps.
Well, I suppose it is the problem of sort of when you put dirty dishes into a picnic hamper. I mean, you know, that's a bit like a sort of wicker work dishwasher.
Thank you.
Put it on the roof of your car and drive for a car wash on the way home, and that would probably sort it out. Well, I mean, you obviously feel very strongly about this, and I can't see how I can possibly keep them out of Room 101. So picnics are going into,
yes,
Room 101.
Thank you. This has been amazing.
Well, we've come to the end of this therapy session. You've got a lot of things in the Room 101. Is there anything that you couldn't live without?
That isn't my family.
No, that isn't your family or money.
I could not live without salt. I salt salt. Well, sometimes salt is not quite salty enough. Do you have that? When it's like that fancy rock salt, I'm like, nah, this isn't going to work. That is going to be covered in table salt. And then, I mean, I will salt butter and then salt on bread. Salt.
Salt is a very good thing to keep out of Room 101. Ladies and gentlemen, Claudia Winkleman.
Thank you.
Room 101 was written and presented by Paul Merton, with additional material by John Irwin and Suki Webster. It was produced by Richard Wilson. It's a Hatchett production for BBC Radio 4.
And Paul Merton's guest on Room 101 at the same time next week will be Desiree Birch. Alan Little is here with Front Row in a moment. He'll be discussing Peter Morgan's new play, Patriots, which has just transferred to the West End. The V&A Photography Centre opens this week. It's the largest suite of galleries in the UK dedicated to a permanent photography collection. Alan is joined by its curator.
on BBC Radio 4.
Californian rapper Dr. Dre owns 7 thoroughbred racehorses. His most successful horse to date is a filly named Straight Outta Kempton.
A new series of The Panel Game built on truth and lies.
Laurie Singer these days suffers from a condition called dancer's ankle. So ironically, having been in Footloose, she now has a loose foot.
With host David Mitchell and guests including Kerry Godleman, Alan Davis and Phil Wang.
Tea has such an earthy flavour that astronauts have a phobia of it, which is why astronauts say T-minus during the countdown.
The Unbelievable Truth on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. The new 6:30 comedy for Monday nights.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. South Wales police have confirmed that officers had briefly followed 2 boys who were on an electric bike before a crash in which 2 teenagers died in Cardiff on Monday evening. But the police say they were half a mile away at the time of the accident in the Ely area, where riots later began. The force has referred itself to the Independent Police Watchdog, a move which the First Minister of Wales, Mark Drakeford, has welcomed.
It can be frustrating for people because it takes time to assemble that information, to analyse it in that objective way. But when we get the results of the investigation, then I think people will have an authoritative account of events that they will be able to trust and rely on.
Inflation has fallen by less than expected, increasing the chances of a further rise in interest rates next month. Figures show that prices increased by 8.7%.